Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, Fair but Firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez and co-host John Zamel in English and Spanish for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Key fight. I'm Joe Cortez, Fair but Firm.
Hey guys, welcome to the Fair but Firm show here in Las Vegas, the battle of the boxing capital of the world. And it seemed like Saturday night, the boxing capital was in L.A.
Sure was, baby.
The fans watching that Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder fight, it was a fight to be remembered for a long time. There was so much excitement going, even up into the 12th round.
Yes.
When it was
especially in the 12th round.
Yeah, I said, wow, there's a knockout. Well, I can't believe he knocked him out. And you know what? Tyson Fury said, no, I'm going to take a little nap.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back
up. Took a nap. He got up. He said, I'm good. I just needed a little nap.
He said, if I get up too quick, I'm going to be a wobbly legs. Let me lay down here for a while.
He just needed a little nap. He got tired. You know, you get tired sometimes. I get tired.
And he jumped up like if it was in the first round.
It was crazy. We've seen Tyson Fury come back from drug addiction, mental illness, suicidal thoughts. We've seen him come back from 400 pounds. We've seen him come back from cocaine. We've seen him come back from alcohol, 20 beers a day, he says. And on Saturday night, we saw Tyson Fury come back from the dead. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen in a boxing match. And I couldn't be more excited about it.
No question about it. Everybody's excited around the world, especially in Great Britain. You fans out there, you two into boxing back in the United Kingdom, Dan and the whole gang back there, you guys, I'm sure, are tuning in. Everybody's watching this show because everybody wants to hear what the fans have to say about the outcome of the fight. As you well know, Deontay Wilder knocked out 39 of his 40 opponents, 39 big knockouts, and we thought it was number 40 Saturday night. But Tyson Fury proved to the world that he is in a mix with the top three in the heavyweight division right now. There was no losses. I said, somebody's O's got to go, but you know what?
Nobody's O had to go,
Nobody's O went. He got a draw, and now what will happen is that we'll continue to look and see who's going to be the next opponent for either Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder. I thought that the winner of Saturday night's fight would fight Anthony Joshua, and you know what happened? Nothing, really, but now there's three in the mix. Now you're going to put a little numbers in a box, shake it up, and see who fights who, because it's going to be a real tune-up fight for whoever's going to fight next. I mean, they should take a rest, both of these fighters, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, because there was a lot of punches taken. But before we really get into the topic, let's go back a little bit. First of all, two things. Condolences for President George Bush Senior, who passed away at the age of 94. And of course, we got to talk about Adonis Stevenson. He got knocked out Saturday night up in Canada. And he's went into a coma. We were hoping for a speedy recovery.
Absolutely.
We heard that he's went from critical to stable. Hopefully, he comes out of it. I've seen many fighters get hurt in boxing. And that's why the referees have to take action. And talking about action, I got to take my hat off to Jack Reese, a referee who refereed the fight Saturday night, who did an excellent job. As a matter of fact, I called him up Saturday night after the fight to tell him about a job well done. That's what I love about refereeing, the concern, the safety for the fighters, and making sure that they can come back another day. But, you know, I could tell you one thing that would... John,
yes, sir.
When Tyson Fury went down in that, he went down in the ninth round. Okay, he got up. He got hit with a shot.
Behind the ear, kind of. Right
just
here,
right behind the ear. No fault of Deontay Wilder.
Oh, no, he ducked into it.
When you duck into it, the referee got a call.
Yeah, there was no rabbit punch there.
And he went down, but the last knockdown in the 12th round, I thought it was lights out. Any inexperienced referee would have stopped that fight.
It was unbelievable.
Jack Reese, my friend, my good friend, and a top referee, should be recognized as one of the best in the world, and not only one of the best in the world, this is what you call a real professional referee.
Yeah.
He has done everything that we practice during seminars that we give. He's been a participant himself. He's been giving seminars, and he's been in classes with other referees where we all learn to refresh our memories, our minds, refresh our skills. We do that during seminars, and Jack Reese also does an excellent job giving seminars. But look what he did Saturday night. He did everything that he preached. He preaches about doing the right thing. He did it right Saturday night. Now, had he stopped it, Tyson Fury would have jumped up. I said, I'm okay. But you know what? If he would have stopped it, nobody would have complained. Because
for, honestly.
The way he went down and he laid on his back, you were about to count. I said, that's it. But he didn't panic. He went through the motions. He watched. He waited. He started to count and saw. Then all of a sudden, this guy jumps up. Tyson Fury, I take my hat off to you. And I'll tell you, if you come back like the way you decided that, you deserve nothing but kudos from all of us. You
absolutely
did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, look. There's a million people out here. First of all, I do want to touch on that Adonis Stevenson thing. Major shout out to him and, you know, and speedy recovery, of course, to him and his family. I know he just had he's got a 1 month old little kid. So I really hope, you know, for him and his loved ones that bounce back is fine. This is a dangerous sport and a constant reminder of just how, you know, just what these fighters are putting on the line to entertain us every week. So it's very important. But on top of that, we talk about this fight being a draw and who was the winner and who was the loser. I think we had two definite winners in this fight. Two guys whose stock rose immensely, not only in the boxing fan's mind, but also in the casual fan, which is where a lot of that money is, as we know. I think the only loser in this fight was Anthony Joshua, because this is a man who sat up in his ivory tower for the last year, ever since he won all those belts, and said, you guys come to me. You come to me, you come to Wembley, you come to Manchester. I set the terms. I tell you what percentage you get. I tell you what network you're on. I tell you how we're doing this fight. And you have to listen to me because I have all the leverage. And he did. And these two guys not only managed to find each other, they managed to battle each other to promote a card that was an outstanding card, and then put on what was essentially the fight of the year. You know, one of the greatest heavyweight battles we've seen in a very long time, up there with, you know, probably just Klitschko and AJ for the last 10 years. And you're looking at two guys who have shown their ability to sell in America, two guys who have the ability to be huge draws and have the ability to fight any and beat any other heavyweight on the planet. Now, when it comes down to negotiations, now look who, you know, in that April 19th matchup that Eddie Hearn and Anthony Joshua have been dangling, see who wins, see who wins. They said keep it. They said you want to keep naming Jarrell Miller, you want to keep naming Derek White, or, you know, all these guys, Chisora, you go ahead. Take one of them. Fight one of them. And make your money you always make and enjoy it. We're going to sell out another huge event, either in England or in America or in Barclays Center or in T-Mobile here in Las Vegas. They are going to be able to keep doing it. And all that leverage that they had sitting up there thinking, we hold all the cards, that's gone. We have, we have a genuine discussion over who's the A side, and that matters, man. That matters. And also, you know, go ahead.
You know, a lot of fans out there saying that Tyson Fury got robbed in this fight. You know, it was one of those fights. I mean, the man ended up on his back twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of fans felt, even though with those two knockdowns, because he won so many of the earlier rounds, that he still should have won the fight. But you fans out there, let me tell you one thing. You know, scoring the fight is not the easiest thing in the world, especially when you got two guys that almost every round was kind of competitive, but they were both competitive.
And not high output from either one of them. You know what I mean? So it's super hard to judge those rounds.
Yeah, it was very tough. But you know what? I think that a rematch is gonna play out in the long run.
So I'll soon and, be so
and,
great.
And it made the fight that more interesting. It could be much more now. Next time they fight either the rematch, like Ali did with Frazier, it'll be those kind of fights like Pacquiao did with Marquez. It's, you know, you fans got to say, you know, thank God it was not a boring fight. It was not that one guy got knocked out in one or two rounds. It was very competitive to the last bell. So the fans won as well. The fighters won. The fans won. I know the Brits are upset that the Tyson Fury didn't get it. And the American fans are upset that the American fighter didn't get it, but it was good for
boxing.
That's
not a bad thing. If there's a draw and it's controversial from both sides, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing for the sport. That's a good thing for boxing. And by the way, if you watch this fight and at the end of it your only takeaway is that Tyson Fury got robbed, then the only robbery that's happening is what you're doing to yourself. Because at the end of the day, this was a huge event, a massive, beautiful fight. This is the reason why we watch this sport. If all you can see is the result of the judges, then go watch soccer, go watch hockey, go watch something where there's no subjectivity involved, because this sport isn't for you. That's just the way it is. Tyson Fury came back from 150 pounds in 1 year, fought the champion, the WBC champion of the world, in his own country, on his own network, on his own terms, got knocked down twice and didn't lose. This was the best result for boxing, the best result for either man, and I could not be happier, because this rematch is going to be great for everyone involved, especially the fans. So I don't see how you can, you know, you're only tainting yourself if that's the way you're trying, if that's the lens you watch this through.
Yeah, now I can tell you one thing is that Tyson Fury is still in the mix. He's on the top now. Everybody can say, listen, whoever wins, if Anthony Joshua fights Deontay Wilder, then the winner will fight Tyson Fury, which is fair. You know, I mean, his stocks didn't go down. His stocks went up compared to what happened before. He's up there again. He's doing a great job. He's doing, he came back the way that we want to see fighters come back in boxing. I mean, he did the unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, being with the drug situation, alcohol, the weight increase, and the way he came down, he was focused. He said what he was going to do. We know that Conor McGregor was going to do all of it. He said to Mayweather, he tried, but, you know, Tyson Fury made it happen.
Tyson Fury made it.
You know, and I got to go back again to the referees, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack Reese again. Jack Reese, a great guy, great referee for Saturday night. I felt that before the fight, I didn't know who was going to be the referee. I didn't really bother looking into it. But I said, if I was commissioner, I would definitely put in a Jack Reese for that type of fight.
You said that on Saturday on the show, yeah?
Because you know what? The guy is so tall. These fighters are so tall, so is Jack Reese. Jack Reese is about 6'1", 6'2". You know, a good heavyweight himself with a slim, nice 220, 225. Mm-hmm. If I'm wrong, Jack, I know maybe I'm putting it a little bit lower.
We should make the referees weigh
in. I think Jack Reese really did a great job.
He was unbelievable, man.
I just can't thank you enough, Jack, for putting the boxing level where it belongs, because you did the right job. And all commissioners around the world, especially anybody, should look at you and say, you know, this is the kind of referee we need for fights. You didn't panic. You were not in the picture all the time. You were just right. You were almost invisible all night long. You were there where they needed you.
Mm-hmm. He gave, you know, he gave him an opportunity to tie him up. He gave Fury an opportunity to tie him up, but he didn't let him hold on. He didn't let him overclinch, but he gave him an opportunity to use his weight and use his body. And as long as someone was throwing, allowed the clinch to happen, which made it very difficult for Deontay Wilder to finish him at the end there. I mean, that's one thing that's the most exciting thing about this. Either one of those guys can win the fight in the rematch, and either one of them can take down Anthony Joshua for so many reasons. If you tell me that Anthony Joshua is going to make Deontay Wilder miss as much as Tyson Fury, then you're crazy. I haven't seen that kind of head movement from a heavyweight since the gentleman whose poster is right behind me there, a man who called himself the greatest and meant it. That's the last person I've ever seen at that weight class be able to move the way he did. And he made a miss, and there's no one else that can do that. That was what was so exciting.
Yeah, you know, hey, former world weight champion Jesse Vargas on the show last week, mm-hmm. on the Joe Cortez show here in Las Vegas, and a different show. You guys should watch it as well, the Joe Cortez show in Las Vegas.
It's a good show.
On Facebook. But Jesse Vargas predicted just what happened Saturday night. He said that Tyson Fury is going to be difficult for Deontay Wilder because of the height. And Deontay Wilder never fought anybody taller than him.
Yeah.
He fought a guy who was 6'9 and had speed, had good movement.
Head movement, man.
I thought that maybe after 6-7 rounds, Tyson Fury would start to fade out, and he didn't. He went all 12 rounds like if it was the first round. He was in great condition. Conditioning meant a lot.
That was the biggest surprise of the fight.
But you know what? Another surprise is that he has a young trainer.
Oh, 25, 26 years old, man. Time of the fight.
He had a young trainer.
2 years younger than me.
Yeah, you know.
Honestly, that's crazy.
That's 3 years younger than me.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's young, man. That's crazy young.
But you know what? But he did a great job. So I take off my hat to the his
Davison,
trainer.
Yeah, Davison.
Davison. And Davison?
Davison's his last name. I think his first name's Ben, but don't quote me.
I call him the great Davison.
Call him the great Davison.
I think you did a good job in training at Tyson Fury for this fight. You got to lose weight. You had it moving the head. That's one thing I always tell the fighters. Move the damn head.
Mm-hmm.
Why coming forward? You're coming in forward. They're hitting you with everything. Move the head. Keep moving. Jab. Keep moving. You know, don't be stationary. And that's what Tyson Fury
You know what else
did.
I noticed? Deontay Wilder didn't fear Tyson's power at all. When he fought Stiverne the first time and when he fought Ortiz, he fought a lot more kind of on his back foot at first. He was scared of their power. With Tyson Fury, he had his hands down looking for his shot. He admitted he rushed his shot, but he wasn't afraid of it, you know? And he got peppered a lot, and that's why his eyes got so swollen.
But he didn't
fear a knockout like he did with Luis Ortiz.
You know, when I was training Conor McGregor for the Mayweather fight under rules on boxing, Conor McGregor would pull out or put his two hands behind his back.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, hit me. And, you know, I was surprised to see Tyson Fury do that against,
Deontay Wilder, of all people.
I mean, of all people, the guy got a knockout.
The guy who can put you to sleep.
Yeah. And he put his hands behind his back and, like, come on, hit me, you know. But he can do that because he got the height. You know, he got the reach. He can move away. And he had the reflexes. He definitely had everything going for him. Now, but Tyson Fury, if you're watching, buddy, keep yourself intact. Don't put on the weight. Don't go to anybody telling you to have a beer or let's have a nothing. Keep on the way you're going because, buddy, you're going places, all right?
My God, he's unbelievable. And let me tell you something. Sunday Puncher is another excellent show that I listen to every time I can. If you guys only listen to one boxing podcast, obviously it's this one. It's the best. But if you listen to two, Sunday Puncher does a good show. But he had a great point. When he talked about the rematch, the amount of highlight things that you'll be able to see for him, all those showboating moments by Fury, the big knockdowns, the big shots that both of them took, you could just take that highlight reel and you're immediately selling, you know, 500,000 pay-per-views immediately just off of that reel alone. And you know, these guys hold so many cards now, they have so many options. They both came out of this like big winners. The fans came out of this like big winners. And for the record, like I said, I mean, I want to make sure I address the way I scored it was for Fury. The way I scored that fight, I thought Fury won it, but I don't come away from it feeling robbed, and neither should any of you. That was an excellent fight, and it's boxing. If you leave it up to the judges, you're leaving it up to humans, and that's just the way it is. Or you can finish it in the ring. This was not the same fight that he fought against Klitschko. Klitschko, he danced around for 12 rounds. This time he danced around for, you know, 9, and he got clapped in 2 of them. That's just the way it is. This is the fight game, and that's why I scored it. You know, I scored it for Fury, but I don't feel robbed. I don't feel like it was, like I said, the only robbery that's happening, if you focus on the scorecards, is the robbery to yourself for what was an amazing fight, an incredible event, and you know, will go down as one of the, you know, greatest moments. When Tyson Fury got up in the 12th round is one of the greatest boxing moments in history. I know a lot of casual boxing fans who don't care either way, didn't have a dog in the fight, and they felt it was the best fight they've ever seen. A lot of them. This was a huge moment for boxing, and especially the heavyweight division. And you have, you know, 3 sharks up top there swimming around each other, and you could not be more excited about that. I couldn't.
Okay, fans, talking about this heavyweight championship fight Saturday night was good for boxing. And I feel being around boxing for over 60 years of my life, I can tell you that this goes in there as a very much anticipated fight. The fans wanted to see a fight. Everybody thought it was going to be a knockout. I myself predicted that Deontay Wilder would stop Tyson Fury after 8 rounds. And you know what? I was wrong. And I'm glad I was wrong, because in my mind, I didn't see this as a very exciting fight. But at the end, I take my words back. I got to take my hat off again to Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder for putting up an excellent show. I mean, if they go back to the drawing board and they look at themselves the way they fought, I'm sure they can make a lot of adjustments for the rematch. They will have to. I mean, Tyson Fury did some crucial mistakes, and so did Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder would have thrown those haymakers, you know.
He was rushing them, man.
You know,
and those straight right.
You know, those kind of punches are the kind of punches that I like fighters. When I was a fighter, I would love to see a guy throwing punches like that, because those are the kind of punches, what they're doing, they're
open yourself for counters.
They're telegraphing. I see it coming, but when you throw like Tyson Fury was doing it, he was throwing the jab and the straight right hand. When you throw a straight right hand, it's quick. As to when you're going like this,
it's big loopers.
You see, it's looper. You see it coming, so you get away. And with the height and the reach that Tyson Fury had, he was able to get away from most of those punches.
As amazing as Tyson Fury was, and he was, I felt like he fought a perfect fight.
Yeah.
I don't think he could have fought a better one outside of the 12th round. I thought he fought as perfect as he possibly could. And that's why going into the rematch, there's still so much intrigue. Yes, he outboxed him, but how do we know that he can stay away from that big right hand? You know, Deontay Wilder did not fight a perfect fight. He did not fight his best fight. Tyson Fury seemed like he did outside of leaving himself open in that 12th.
Okay, Tyson Fury made some mistakes. Not many, but when he goes back to the drawing board, his trainer, Davidson, you're watching out there, look at the replays and look at some of the mistakes that he made. If you can adjust those mistakes, he will come up number one of the 3 that are up in the top right now. He needs some adjustments, and train him the way you did. He has he did not fizzle out.
His cardio was so outstanding.
His reflexes are good. I like the head movement is good. But there's a couple of more things that goes with the boxing, and that's the combinations. I like to see more combinations from a fighter like Tyson Fury, because Tyson Fury has the reach. He has the speed. He could have capitalized with more combination. The same thing applies to Deontay Wilder.
Had a lot to fix.
Deontay Wilder let him get away with a lot of his moves, and he could have stepped in a little bit more. He got inside with more left hooks to the body. He didn't hardly throw any body shots. And that's what these guys will go back to the drawing board. They'll see it. They'll say, wow, yeah, I can.
If Deontay Wilder would have capitalized after either knockdown, then he would have been done. I mean, he was clearly compromised after both knockdowns. And if you can land one more solid punch in that same round, either the ninth or the 12th, then you have a knockout. But he wasn't able to. I mean, that's what makes this fight so exciting. That's what makes the rematch so exciting, is there's so many unknowns. We don't know how it could play out for the second time. We have no idea. This time, we didn't know which Tyson Fury we were getting. Now we realize we do. And this was, by the way, yes, fighting Klitschko is big on paper, and it's a million things. This was the biggest moment of his career. This was the biggest fight of his career. And when he got up in the 12th round, was as big as any moment he's ever had.
Okay, now what we're going to call in my friend Jack Reese, a referee.
What an honor.
We're going to call him in so he can give us his little input on this fight. Let's see, Jack Reese, pick up the phone, my friend. Because here we are. Jack Reese, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Okay, my friend, I'm glad to have you on the phone. It's an honor to have speaking with a referee who did such an excellent job Saturday night. You know, it's a good thing that we're not calling to ask you why did you do this, why did you do that, with controversial endings. You did what a professional referee is supposed to do. You performed the way we've given seminars. Well, you give your seminars, and with that, I've been present at some of your seminars, and you've always been a professional at what you do. And tell us a little bit about how you felt during the fight. First of all, when you went into the dressing room, you gave the instructions to the fighters. How was the attention getting from both fighters, from Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury? When you go in, that's where the referee takes control back in the dressing room. Explain to our listeners out there, how did you take your responsibilities that night? How do you go with it forward that night?
Well, it was interesting. You know, there was a lot of tension between them, and it was, admittedly, it was the longest instructions I've ever had to give because there were so many questions from both camps. And I had done my research, and I had about three or four things I wanted to warn each fighter about, and each fighter complained about the other, or the corners did. So to establish control, I just made sure they were very clear on what I expected of them and also what they could expect of me. And the biggest thing was, when I say the word stop, there's no more punching. And this is one of the ways I felt I could take control. Just as soon as I say stop, you throw a punch, it's a foul. And they did. They listened. And there was tension. You know, the other guy was going to be dirty, but they ended up both fighting very clean, hardly any holding. One or two rattle punches the whole night. It was a great fight. And thank you for having me on, by the way. Hey, well, both of you gentlemen, thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Well, you know, Jack, let me go back. Now, you and I have been referees for many years. We worked for many years together. And I've been retired, and now I can talk openly more about our referees' duties and
performance.
I mean, I've always talked about referees' performance and whatnot, but here at Saturday night, when I saw when the first bell sounded, you were in the ring, you gave the instruction to both fighters, and you told them about the trunks were a little high on both sides, and you took control right from the beginning, from the opening bell, and you were able to monitor it. What were you expecting in the first round from both fighters?
Based on what I saw in the tapes I studied and also in the fights I did with Wilder, because of their size and their power, I expected them to be feeling each other out. And I didn't think there'd be a lot of big fireworks, but I was waiting for it in case it was going to happen. And let me back up and tell you, and I'm sure, Joe, with all the fights of tremendously high magnitude you've done this as well. Both guys were sporting a beard. Both guys had, in the past, wore their trunks almost up to the nipples, and they were very big, both of them. And we addressed these problems 10 days out. I wrote a letter to the commission attached with the regulation about the trunks, and the beards that had to be neat and trimmed. And I also said we have to have the rope extremely tight. Their combined weight is over 500 pounds. With me in there, it would be 6. If we all go flying against those ropes, it's going to be ugly. So we took care of a couple of things up front a week out, let the camps know what we were expecting. Tyson Fury, we asked him one time, he shaved the beard off. Mm-hmm. And Deontay trimmed his down so there wouldn't be any controversy with that. And with the trunks, we did the same thing, and they were right at the waist, just a little bit above.
Well, you know, that's what a lot of people don't understand, that these are what goes on behind the scenes.
A lot of homework involved, yeah.
The preparation.
Oh, my God, yeah.
The preparation before a fight is not just the day of the fight. It's doing your homework like you did, like referees are supposed to do. Watch the fighter's style, see if they have any dirty tactics, any unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah.
And, of course, your domain is that ring, and you're responsible for what goes on in that ring. Besides just you refereeing, is also that making sure that the ropes are right, making sure that the canvas is correct, that there are no bumps on the canvas. So, you know, it's all these things that people, that fans, you know, don't even know about. They take it for granted. These are a lot of homework that we have to do, and you did a great job in making sure all those things were in place.
Absolutely. Jack, I got to tell you.
Joe, you know what I got to tell you, Joe?
What's that?
You and I have discussed this, and we've laughed about it. You know, I had a list of things that both guys, they do that I didn't like, and I brought up to Tyson Fury. I said, look, Tyson, I'm not picking on you, and I got a list for Deontay, but some things you've done in the past that I'm not going to be allowed tonight is like when you knocked out Cunningham, you shoved him to the ropes, and you spread his jaw with your forearm and then knocked him out. Mm-hmm. There was no pushing or holding and hitting. I said, you can't grab the ropes, hold the ropes and throw a punch and pull yourself back with the ropes. I told him, you know, and he acted like a kid that was caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
Yeah.
It was just like you and I have talked about. It was funny.
Yeah, well, you know, these are the kind of things that a veteran referee like yourself, a very well experienced referee, had you been inexperienced, you would have made some flaws that night.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with that knockdown in that 12th and final round.
Yeah, let's touch on that.
Any inexperienced referee would have probably stopped it. Nobody would have complained about it because you said, the guy's out. I want to get the doctor there as quick as possible. But you took your time. You didn't panic. You know, you said, well, I'm going to give this guy an opportunity to see. You saw he was just laying there for a couple of seconds. Like I said, any referee will automatically wave it off. You don't have to give the full count. You can say, I could have counted to 1,000. He was going to get up. And that's the way he looked. But he surprised the whole world.
My God.
I think he even surprised
himself. And Joe, you know what I got to remind you of?
What's that?
You and I had this exact conversation in reverse, and this is where I learned about it. I asked you in your home 10 years ago, what were you thinking when Pacquiao knocked Marquez down for the third time in the first round? And you told me, I knew he had a full gas tank. They weren't devastating knockdowns. I'm going to give this guy a chance. And I said to myself, very, very much similar, this is a championship fight. I got to count a champion out, or I got to give him a shot. And that's what I did. It goes back to what you and I discussed.
Well, you know what? So if you ever made a right call in boxing, it was that night of not calling it off.
That's amazing.
No, thank you.
Well, I got to tell you, Jack, I mean, that's to that point. One of the natures of your job, and you know this all too well, and Joe knows this way all too well, is that the only time you guys normally make the news is if something's controversial, if something's seen as you doing your job poorly. Very, very seldom, if ever, are you guys ever in the news or in a headline for making a great decision or a great call. That's just the nature of the profession. But you made headlines for what a great call that nonstop was. You've gotten nothing but a ton of credit from the moment that this fight ended. And I want to congratulate you on that, because that's just amazing and such a rarity in the sport, or any sport, for a referee to get as much attention for, you know, good reason as you did. And that just is a testament to what an excellent job you did on Saturday night, man.
That really means a lot. Thank you very much. I'm humbled by it. And, you know, you're only as good as your last performance, so I'm going to put that in the back burner and just concentrate on what I got to do next.
You know, we're going to keep on going with the show today because there's so much to talk about. So I'm not going to let you viewers say, oh, my God, the show is over. No, we're going to go into extra time because we got to talk about the Lomachenko and Pedraza. And Pedraza fight coming up next week from Madison Square Garden. But I will keep you on the phone a little bit longer, Jack. I want to just say that in the press conference, Tyson Fury gave you a lot of compliments of how you let he listened to you, but you gave him the instructions and how are you going to take it. If any fighter got knocked down, you did exactly what you said you're going to do. He said he listened to you carefully. He was very pleased with your performance, which is not too common in boxing.
Yeah.
That fighters compliment the referee for a job well done. So, you know, there goes another one for you that I think that you will deserve. And I think that keep giving those seminars, and that's one of the highlights of your videos for your seminars coming up. When you give your next seminar, make sure you show that fight and show them how you handle it, how referees should handle it without panicking. Now, that's why I say young referees, Jack, that are trying to make it into boxing, been there 2, 3, or 4 years, and they complain that they're not getting the big fights. They don't realize how many years it takes for you to get experience and get polished up. How many years have you been a referee now, Jack?
21. So it took me 21 years to be an overnight sensation.
Well, you see it. That's why you've been overnight. You've been a good referee for many years. Yes, last night, Saturday night, you just proved to the world what it really means to be serious about this job. You take this job so seriously, and you also feel like this is what referees want to do. This is a dream of every referee. Have you been any part of the world? Maybe the outcome would have been different.
Exactly.
It's just the right timing, the right place, the right time. You were there Saturday night in Los Angeles at the Staples Center with almost a sellout crowd.
Yeah.
You did a great job.
I got to ask, though, the question everybody wants to know, Jack, I mean, undeniably, what was going through your head when you saw that big 12th round knockout? I mean, or knockdown when it first happened. What was going through your head, and then what did you see in Fury's eyes that showed you that it wasn't over, that he still had some fight in him?
Well, like I said, you know, I was taught by guys like following guys like Joe, like Dick Young, Pat Russell. You always count a champion out, and especially, you know, in the 12th round, you try not to take points. You know, no harm, no foul.
Sure.
Don't take any points. You don't want to mess it up at the end. And the guy gets knocked down in the 12th round. He fought 11 rounds. You want to give him every opportunity.
Absolutely.
So I just signaled down, picked up the count, walked over to him. And I don't know if you guys noticed, after I went down on one knee, I scooted up so I'd be right over his face with my hands.
Yes.
So he could see and hear me. And it was the strangest thing. You know, did you ever, like, startle somebody when they're sleeping
yes.
and they pop up with their eyes wide open?
That's how he looked.
When I said five, he popped up like I woke him up out of his sleep and
made
his funny face and just rolled up and got up, man.
I was like, I'm up.
I couldn't believe it.
Well, you know what? That happens sometimes with these fighters. He was probably in a concussive episode right there. He was out. But when he got on his feet, he was like bright awake, like, you know, like nothing ever happened.
Just dancing around.
And you know what? Were you surprised, Jack, that he hit Wilder with a punch there, and Wilder even grabbed on to hold on a little bit. He looked like he got a little stung a little bit after the knockdown.
Yes, and I got to tell you something. I have such admiration and respect for both of those guys. It's unbelievable. And now, I only saw Fury fight on television, and I thought he was a little awkward and goofy. But being in the ring with him, he moves wonderfully, and he did it for 12 rounds.
Yeah.
He was slipping punches. He's way better than I thought he was from watching on TV.
I have
respect for both of those guys.
Well, I'll tell you, they got respect from me as well, both fighters, but especially Tyson Fury because of his downfall. And he's an inspiration for anybody out there that's had problems with drugs and whatnot, alcohol.
Mental illness, anything.
He's an inspiration for you because if this man did it, if he did it, anybody else can do it. He's very religious. He's a Christian. And he said it, God help me. God guide me through this whole thing, through this, all this difficult moment these last couple of years, and he came back better than anybody I have ever seen.
Unbelievable. One of the best comebacks in boxing history. Undeniably. We talked about that going into this, about some of the great heavyweight comebacks. I think you have to put this on par with all those, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's just the truth. We saw a real watershed moment in boxing on Saturday night.
You know, because he was down and out, you can't say, well, you know, now even myself, who's been in boxing for so many years, I have to respect him and respect those who are out of boxing and have the drug addiction and alcohol addiction and hit rock bottom. There's only one place you can go after you hit rock bottom is well, that's up. And that's what Tyson Fury did. He went up.
Absolutely.
And I tell you, you know, his team, I got to take off my hat to his team. I'm sure his team has a lot to do with this. His managers, his promoter. I mean, everybody has a lot to do with the outcome of the results of this fight Saturday night.
Jack, I got one last question.
He's got good people around him. His trainer, Ben, really good guy, straight shooter.
Right.
And he's got good people around him now.
Yes, he does.
Absolutely. Jack, I got one more question for you. When they make a movie about Tyson Fury's comeback and that big knockdown and that big getting up and they play the music, who do you want to play you in the movie?
You could play me because I'll be dead probably.
I'll take it, Jack. I'll take it.
No. I like to see Jack Reese in that movie, and I think Jack Reese deserves it, because of why should they put somebody else in there when the real man is there? I mean, to do it, I mean,
from a movie star, to, you know, if anyone would know.
No, I think Jack Reese has done some movies already in the past, and I think that they should make a nice story about Tyson Fury.
It was a great moment,
and it was a great moment. The highlight of his career was that knockdown gave him more credit. Then if he
knocked another guy down, yeah.
Then if he would have knocked somebody else
down. Getting up from that moment. I mean, that's what we love about boxing. That's what we love about Rocky movies and all this stuff. Getting knocked down and getting up again is the epitome of this sport. And he has done it outside the ring and inside the ring. That's what makes this so beautiful and such an amazing story. Yeah. And we watched that, you know, all of us on Saturday night.
Yeah. I think that what he did there Saturday night with that was unbelievable. It's something that you don't see many fighters can do, get down, knocked down like that and get up and win. A lot of fighters, they get hit down. They say, you know what? I'm staying down. They're looking for a sore spot in that ring to go down. He didn't.
He went to sleep. And he woke up.
He got up. He didn't like that canvas.
It just wasn't comfortable, probably. You know when you think something's comfortable?
It wasn't comfortable. The canvas was too hard for him.
He woke up and saw Jack Reese said five, and he said, all right, five.
If you had a soft
quick 5 seconds.
A soft canvas there.
I might have taken seven.
He would have laid out for 100. But he said, I don't like this canvas. It feels too hard on me.
Yeah.
He jumped right up.
Well, you want to know the backstory?
What's that?
Yeah.
They put the ring together early in the morning because I think the Lakers played the night before, you know. And one of the referees went to check it, and the Fury camp was there complaining that the canvas was too thick, and they wanted a tighter canvas so he could move better, because the thicker canvas would have made his legs tired, you know, through a 12-round fight. Yeah, so they changed the canvas that morning.
Well, I figured he might need right a nap later on.
I agree with you, and I did a... You know, I'm involved with Devin Haney. I'm a consultant on their team. And they fought in Temecula about a month and a half ago. And I was there, and I checked out the ring in the morning before the fight. And again, I didn't like the way the canvas felt. It was too slippery. And it was not really like a canvas, more like a plastic. The water would not penetrate the canvas. So we had the whole canvas changed. The commission about the California commission said, no, this will not pass. And I agree with them. Good thing I went there in the morning about 8 o'clock to check out the ring.
Exactly.
Where they were putting it together. And that's the thing that a lot of fans don't understand, the duties of a referee. You go back and you check these things out, especially when you travel to a foreign country. Normally in your jurisdiction, you normally know everything is always run the right way. Mm-hmm. You can't take it for granted, but I'm sure that when you went into that ring, you still checked out the ropes, you checked out the canvas, made sure it felt good. But the camp, sometimes they know that as well. Yes, a soft canvas, you get more tired because it's like you're sinking your feet, your bottom of your feet, of your soles, your shoes, they sink into that canvas. So it's a little tougher with a fast ring. Means that it's quicker. You can move around. You can slide around much easier, and it's less pressure on your legs. So they did the right thing by having some of that padding removed, but it has to be under the certain guidelines to make sure the safety is first. Because when the fighters hit, like Tyson Fury hit, and that canvas that night, it was pretty hard, but it was enough padding there to protect them.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah. But anyway, Jack, again, I want to thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
It was a privilege, man.
And keep up the good work, and we'll talk later on. Okay, brother?
Hey, yes, and thank you guys for having me. And, Joe, I just want to one more kudos. You know, you got guys like me and Benji Estevez and Mike Ortega and Russell Moore and others that you have been giving these little pearls of wisdom to for many years. And we hope we're doing you proud. That's it. Okay?
All right, Robert. You take care, brother. We love you, man. Take care. God bless.
I love you, too. See you guys.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, fans. So now you heard there, Jack Reese, a real good referee that has so much talent. And a lot of fans are still asking us about Anthony Joshua and, will he fight?
How do you think it would go? How do you think the fight would go if he fought against Fury? How do you think the fight would go with him? Who would you take? Because I think they're both toss-ups.
You know, right now it's all a toss-up. They're all three in the mix. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, they're all equal right now.
If they all fight each other 100 times, don't win 33 of them, man. Yeah, that's how crazy it is.
And I think that Anthony Joshua has got to come up to the plate now and say, you know what, I'm next. I mean, come on. These two other guys came up, and other heavyweights, yes. Luis Ortiz was there Saturday night. Luis Ortiz, by the way, knocked out Kaufman in the last stand.
Kaufman was a real warrior too, man. Yeah, he took a beating and kept getting back up. Yeah, good for Kaufman, bro.
Yeah, Kaufman went down a couple of times. I was surprised that he was able to get up and continue. Kaufman is a tough fighter from Pennsylvania. I never heard much about this guy, but he
impressed me.
But he stood in there with Luis Ortiz, and you guys know what Luis Ortiz did to
Deontay Wilder.
Deontay Wilder earlier this year with a seventh round, almost had Wilder out. So it goes to show that there's still a mix. Luis Ortiz is still in the mix with the three top other heavyweights out there. Mm-hmm. So I think
it was a good undercard all around, man.
Yeah.
We had Jared Hurd managed to finally put down his opponent, Welburn, with that body shot. Welburn earned his 30,000.
That was a good body shot, right? And of course, you had Joe Joyce,
who, by the way, is old, 2 years older than Tyson Fury, but is still a prospect, undeniably, made his 7-0, his 7-0, his showcase fight. And he looked good, as he always does. And I'm excited to see him move up to the next level of competition, hopefully before he starts to age out too much, because he's very exciting.
Yeah, Joey Joyce looked pretty good Saturday night. He's still got a little rough on the edges.
Yeah, he's young, man. He's not young.
But
new.
I mean, with 7 pro fights, he's still got a little ways to go before he can polish up. He's still a little green fighter, and I can say it'll take a little while before, but he can't waste too much time because he's 33 years of age.
32 years old, man.
But he's a good fighter, has potentials. And I think another fight for him, a good 10-round fight.
Step up. It's a step up.
Fight a guy like Kaufman. Mm-hmm. But Kaufman did okay Saturday night. You know, he didn't do that bad. He didn't get wiped out in 1 or 2 rounds.
No, go up another tier in competition. I agree with you.
You know, go up a tier a little bit and fight Kaufman, and that would be a good 10-round fight for him. Then from there, we can start looking at something down the line. But we want to talk about we into extra time now. We're over. Way over extra time.
Well over.
Let's talk about next Saturday night. Hey, fans, you know, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder fight would be a good fight. But then again, you got Anthony Joshua with Luis Ortiz. It's a good mix in there.
Yeah, you still got White. You still got Chisora. You still got Big Baby Miller still has his name out there.
And we'll still be talking about this fight for a while. I'm sure you fans are going to be still upset that Tyson Fury got robbed. You're going to see a lot of that. Thank God it was a draw. You know why? Because nobody lost. Everybody, they both win, and the
especially
fans win.
The fans.
And we'll see another one coming down the line.
I can't wait.
Now, let's wait for, talking about can't wait. I can't wait for Saturday night coming
up. Me neither.
Up, you got Sergey Lomachenko, who's fighting Jose Pedraza from Puerto Rico. Now, Pedraza says he wants to give Puerto Rico a big Christmas gift and come home with the title.
What a gift it would be.
It would be a big
gift.
You're
going up against, a guy who's, you know, basically... He's the greatest pound for pound fighter in the world right now. You could say it's Terrence Crawford, and I would agree with you up to his. You know, I don't like a lot of his opponent choices. We've talked about on the show, but Vasily Lomachenko tied the record for its fewest fights to get to a title with 3. Then he won the record for fewest fights to get to 2 titles with 7. Then he beat the record again for fewest fights to get to 3 titles with 13. Now he's going to have his first unification bout. This is a guy who keeps going up, keeps doing more, keeps pushing the envelope, and keeps showing why he might be the most exciting fighter in boxing. He's an absolute phenom. His ability to use angles and footwork and everything else, he has a 396-1 amateur record. He's a perfect fighter from the ground up, going up against a guy in Jose Pedraza who's only lost 1 fight.
Exactly.
They both only lost 1 fight.
Yeah,
and just beat Raymundo Beltran for his lightweight title.
Exactly, he had beat Raymundo Beltran winning the lightweight championship a couple of months ago. Now I say that that Lomachenko, you know, is great for boxing. He's coming up in weight, and they're talking about maybe coming up after he wins the lightweight if he wins the lightweight championship. He was maybe go up to a junior welterweight, 140. I mean, he can fight 140. I'm going to be surprised. I mean, Manny Pacquiao did it. Manny Pacquiao won a championship in what is 6, 7 weight classes,
8
from 118 pound up to
154.
To 154,
which is insane.
He beat everybody just about in all those rankings and all those weight classes to get to be one of the
best. And that's just titles.
And he's still involved.
You know, he fought in 11 weight classes?
Yeah, he fought 11 weight
classes. But he won 8 titles in 8 weight. That's insane.
And he's still in the mix. He's fighting, coming up real soon. He's fighting
Adrian Broner.
He's fighting Adrian
on another
Broner.
Pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a good fight.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
And it has Mayweather implications, which, like it or hate it, is a very big deal for the sport of boxing. He's still the biggest name in the sport. And so when you have those style of implications, when you have Mayweather money on the line, you know, you're talking about something very interesting and very important, and people still care. People, you know, You'd like to hear, you know, let's move on to the next stage of boxing. We've done that. We know who our stars are right now. It's not, we're not leaning on Pacquiao and Mayweather to keep the sport alive. We know exactly who our stars are in every division. We have Top Rank signing a huge deal with ESPN. You got PBC signing a huge deal with Fox. You're going to watch a fight on both of those within the next 3 weeks. You have Canelo Alvarez signing a huge deal with DAZN to become the highest paid athlete in the world. You'll see that fight, his first fight with that network in 2 weeks. You have, this has been huge for the media groups. You'll see the Lomachenko fight on free ESPN right here. But right now, this is that moment. This is still exciting, and you can throw in a Mayweather-Pacquiao bout at the end of the year next year and still have it be exciting.
Exactly. Now, that was good stuff, John. Gave you all this information that's needed for your fans, because John is my little information booth with all the information you want to get about boxing. I just give a look.
I got to be, you know, something, you know?
You know, the guy.
You bring the looks and the personality and the resume and everything else. I got to at least have the information.
Well, you got to have something.
That's what I'm saying. Otherwise, what am I doing here?
No, John is a good man. We got a good guy. You got to want him, you can have him, but make sure let him.
You're going to rent me out. You're not for keeps.
Let me use him once in a while. But that's why he's on this show here, guys. We know that we got we got all day to talk about boxing. You guys want to go for lunch? Go for lunch and come back. We'll probably still be here.
We might, dude. It's that exciting, to be honest with you. Yeah. This is the first show we've done that's been over a half hour in a very long time since the implication of our new format. And we introduced that in the beginning here. Like, how are we going to fit all this information plus that huge interview into a half hour format?
So, okay, we know that we can talk for 2 to 3 hours with no problems about boxing. All that, I'm sure you fans can listen in and talk, because we're trying to give you a wealth of information about what's going on around the boxing world. Now, we know that in Las Vegas, about the boxing capital of the world, we have great fights. You know, this year we have pretty good ones. Of course, we got to talk about the Triple G Canelo Alvarez fight. Was a great fight. But now this one here, Saturday night, Tyson and Wilder will be in the mix with the top fights of the year.
Yeah.
But we also got to talk about Adonis Stevenson. Mm-hmm. We know that he's in critical condition. They brought him up to stable right now. And we hope that he turned out to be okay. He's a nice gentleman. I ran into him a couple of years ago here in Las Vegas. I was at some restaurant. He comes up to me and said, "Mr. Cortez, can we take a picture?" I said, "Absolutely. You're one of my favorite fighters, champions." I already have been retired from boxing as a referee, so now I can say I have favorites. Mm-hmm. Because when I was active, I kept these guys at a distance. But now, yes, I have some favorite fighters out there.
He's run the light heavyweight division for a few years, man.
Yeah, he was a light heavyweight champion for WBC for 5 consecutive years, the longest reigning champion in boxing. And to get stopped Saturday night, he fought a draw against Jack Bodak a couple of months.
Badu Jack, yeah.
Badu Jack. Yeah, Badu Jack.
I don't know how you say it.
Yeah, cool about 7 months ago, he had a fight. Ended up a draw. And Badu Jack and... I think that fight took a lot out of Adonis Stevenson. Mm-hmm. You guys that know boxing, you know what I'm talking about. When a guy gets, he ended up with a draw. He got dropped in one of the rounds as well. So he might have been damaged just coming into the fight
very
Saturday
well
night. But that's why it's so important that you trainers, managers, and promoters out there, if you hear something about your fighters not feeling well about something, dizzy, nauseous or something, always, you know, especially after the sparring sessions, sometimes something is not right. Get him a CAT scan. Get him checked out to make sure.
Especially right before the fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, because that you never know what happened in sparring.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, shout out to his opponent, whose name I can't pronounce, and Gvadzik. It's something like that. He took, you know, I mean, he came in and beat the guy who's the light heavyweight champion of the world. We can't take anything away from him. I know we focus on Adonis' medical condition, and obviously one of the biggest fights we've ever seen, which happened, you know, or seen this year, which happened this weekend. So it's going to take attention away. But a huge shout out to him and his training team, including Teddy Atlas. You guys did a great job, and, you know, you deserve that win. So an excellent job to you. And to Adonis, a very speedy recovery. I'm going to do our shout outs now. We can do a, you know, make sure you tune in every Monday right here. We do this every week at the exact same time, 1 o'clock Las Vegas time. We have 4 o'clock on in the East Coast and 9 p.m. in the UK time. We go through Into Boxing, and we're shared on a bunch of other accounts, so make sure you follow us on at least one of those so you can catch us every week. Also, make sure you follow us on the Joe Cortez channel on YouTube. We have you know, we're just as good on that, and we have a great archive. It's a lot easier to go through old shows on that if you want to check us out. Also iTunes, also audioboom.com, also Spotify. We're on just about everything. We're on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us everywhere you can, because you don't want to miss anything. We got a lot of good information, and we're on everywhere, as well as on Saturday mornings here in Las Vegas, Nevada. We do a radio show on I'm sorry, 720 AM and 101.5 FM. K Don, the Valley's only sports talk news radio station.
Go online, put it online your computer.
KDON.com, KDWN.com. You can watch us live on Saturday mornings. That time, that's 11:30 Pacific time. Make sure you check us out. Make sure you listen. Make sure you do everything else you can do. I also want to give a shout out to my friend Alfonso. I know that he tells me that he listens to the show every week, and he gets all his boxing information from there. I don't know, from us. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. But either way, there might be other people like you. We love hearing from you, and that always makes me very happy. So please, comment and anywhere you can, because we do love hearing about it, man.
Okay, we also want to give a shout out to Jackie Nunez, who's recuperating from a little illness back in New York. She's one of our assistant producers in New York. And, you'll be like a champ. You get knocked down, you get up, you
like
keep
Tyson
going.
Fury, baby.
You know, you're like Tyson Fury. You know, you got all the skills and you got all the 1-2 punches. You'll be okay. And a shout out to all our friends, and also our condolences to Sandy Cologne Pelton, who passed away this week here in Las Vegas unexpectedly. And, of course, to our former President George Bush, who passed away at the age of 94. And so we had some losses this week and some tragedies that occur in boxing. And we want to just say to those folks out there around the world, we love you all. We care for you guys. We want the best for all our friends out there, all the boxing family, and all those listeners out there and viewers, that we care for you guys, and we want more harmony amongst ourselves, love, caring, and, of course, understanding. With that said, guys, keep your guards up at all times. And remember, I'm fair, but I'm firm. Touch him up.
Fair, but firm with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys. Let's touch him up. Three fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair, but firm.